Okay, let me present you selected laws on the Hilchos Pesach. Everything I'm saying over here, it's not working. The machine is not working. No, it didn't turn it off.
The lights on.
Okay, let's learn some selected halachos of Hilchos Pesach. Everything that I'm telling you is rooted in this wonderful sefer. I really, really enjoy series from Kitzur Halachos. He has a whole series. The author is Rav Zev Hofstetter. Zev Hofstetter, I believe, is the nephew of the famous David Hofstetter, a multi-millionaire, multi-billionaire who supports single-handedly the organization called Dirshu. Okay, his motto is learning with accountability. Okay, all of the learning that he supports is all based upon exams. Exams. They give exams on every Mitzvah Torah, and he gives out an enormous amount of money for learning. And he's very successful, and he has a nephew. He himself is a Talmud Chacham. He has himself published many, many Svarim, but he has a nephew, the Baal Halacha, Rav Zev Hofstetter. And he has published over the years a series of halacha svarim in English on the Mo'adim. And they're very, very good. They're very practical. They're very much focused on 21st century. On selecting things which we relate to very, very much in a very pleasant form. Very well written, and everything is cited, all the sources. Very, very well done. So here, let's begin. Everything I'm telling you here, I went through this very quickly. I didn't spend time on it, but let's try to run through some basic halachas. Okay, first thing is, let's discuss. We're going to learn today that Erev Pesach. I'm going to try to go very quickly. Erev Pesach, the unique halachas of Erev Pesach in the morning. Not Bedikas Chametz. We'll do another time. Maybe we already did. We already spoke about it a little bit. But let's just in the morning. Basic halachas. Number one is in davening. We do not recite Mizmor L'Soida, because Mizmor L'Soida is you cannot eat the carbon pest, the carbon toid is chametz. And since you're not allowed to eat chametz past the fourth hour, the Zman Isra Achilas Chametz, so we do not want to be mimayet in the Zman of Achilas Kodoshim. If you're going to force a person to eat his chametz, his carbon toid, in a very short time span, even though theoretically it's possible, you can bring a carbon toid there early in the morning, and you can eat up the 30 loaves of bread. You can give it out to all of the people who have cleaned their homes for Pesach, and you can give out the bagels for free. The bagel hall is packed. Okay, Erev Pesach, you can't even get in there. Erev Pesach, so can you imagine, what's the problem? Erev Pesach, bring a carbon toid there, and you give out free bagels. 30 free bagels. It'll be eaten up in a snatch. In a snatch. Yet, it's fascinating. Chazal said, not so fast. Since, according to Halacha, the carbon toida can be eaten the entire day and the entire night, the following night. And now that it's Erev Pesach, you have to stop eating it by the end of the fourth hour. You're being memayit in the Zman Achila of the carbon toida. Therefore, do not offer a carbon toida on Erev Pesach. Being that Mizmor L'Soida is recited corresponds to the carbon toida, we do not recite Mizmor L'Soida. It goes without saying, there's no tachnon, and we also do not recite Lam Natseach. Okay, Yan Hashem B'Yom Tzara. We do not recite that Mizmor because it's not a Yom Tzara, it's the day when we bring the carbon Pesach. It's a Yom Tif. The Yom Tif really begins after Chatzos, when the carbon Pesach is offered, but already the day begins in the morning. There is no mizmor l'soida. There's no lamatzeach, and if it's laning this year, there's a laning. No kapayim. That goes without saying. Okay, next. There's tainus b'charim. The firstborn has to fast. Who has to fast? Does the firstborn female have to fast? So it's not so simple. Today they don't. Today women do not. But it used to be years ago, some in fact did, even firstborn girls. Okay? They would fast. Today that's not the custom. What? They don't need to hear a siyum. They don't have to fast altogether. Women, the girls, okay, it could be, I don't know, but basically women do not, I mean, fast, it does not make a difference whether you're a Kohen or a Levi. A Kohen or a Levi, also if you're a firstborn, you must fast because we commemorate the miracle that firstborns were killed by Hashem on Pesach, and therefore every firstborn was in danger. Every firstborn amongst the Jews were in danger, and it's only because of Pesach, Hashem al Pesach, we survived. Kevan shenitan rishus l'mashchis, he's that maflik ben tzadik l'rosha. Once the angel of death is given permission to kill, he does not differentiate it tzadik or rosha. Therefore, according to the letter of the law, every firstborn among the Jews was in danger, and Hashem miraculously spared them, and we should really fast on Pesach itself, but being that Pesach is a Yom Tov, we can't fast. So we're Maktim. It's a very unusual type of fast, because normally in Poronus, we're not Maktim. We generally do not bring a day of a commemoration of punishment early. This is a notable exception. We bring the Tainis a day early to Erev Pesach, and they have to fast. If a person was born after a miscarriage, if his mother had a miscarriage, he still has to fast. It doesn't matter. The laws of a firstborn are very, very general. There's the woman, the only, if a parent has a firstborn child, so who and the father is not a firstborn, the minhag is the father will fast for his newborn baby until he becomes an adult and is able to fast on his own. So let's say, I guess, until he's bar mitzvah. If a father has a new child, I guess until the kid is 13 years old, the father has to hear a siyum. Even though the father is not a firstborn, the minhag is that his child is in danger, was in danger, would have been in danger, and therefore the father has to take his place and has to fast. Once a child becomes an adult, then the child is on his own. The father no longer needs to attend the Siyum Erev Pesach. What happens if the father is a firstborn himself? So he has to fast for himself. He can't then fast for his firstborn. Then the minhag is the mother has to fast. So there is a Hecha Timsa indeed where a woman does fast, and that is where her husband is a firstborn, and they have a firstborn child. The mother will fast for her child. Let's say the mother is not well enough to fast, because the mother, she has to go hear a siyum. She basically has to attend a siyum, and you've never seen this. Most shuls, you don't see women, you do not see women coming into a siyum to participate. Yeah?
If the father is not a firstborn, and the child is the 10, 11, 12, and father can't make it, could your son
make it? There are so many leniencies in this. I would assume yes. The whole thing is only a minhag, so I would assume yes. The answer is yes. If the child already is 11, 10 years old, and the child goes to already has enough das, and he goes to a siyum, and the father cannot attend the siyum, that's going to be good enough. You don't see women coming to siyumim, and there are definitely cases, and yet it's mentioned that this was the custom. So what happened? Do they do? Maybe you bring home food. If you bring them food from the siyum, you give it to your wife, so that would be sufficient. If a person cannot attend a siyum, what should he do? So I remember
Let
hearing years ago, what?
Let him fast.
That's right, you should fast. And years ago, people did fast. They didn't look for kunsim to break the fast, but it's already going on for probably 1,000 years. People would break the fast with a siyum. If you cannot attend a siyum, so I remember hearing is that the next best solution is to give tzedakah. You pay there, you fast with tzedakah. I haven't seen that often. I'm after saying this, but it's really correct. But I did see this year. There's a better solution. Is you should pay for the siyum. Very, very. If you cannot attend the siyum, if you send in, you find out who is making the siyum, and you pay for the siyum. So by paying for the siyum, that is equivalent to you yourself being part of the siyum, even though you're not there to hear the hadron, and you're not there to eat the food. That's just as good. Okay, so the money, the pidyon is not to give money to poor people. The pidyon is to pay for the seam itself. That makes it part of the seam.
Even when we were there by the seam, I give tzedakah after the seam.
Okay, there's a bechlal, there's halach being. So anyway, everything you do a mitzvah, you give tzedakah. It's another concept. Now, when you come to the seam, if you're a bechor, the seam you have to eat. You must eat in order for the seam to be effective, in order that you do not have to fast anymore. You must eat from the food at the seam. It's more important to eat the food at the seam than to hear the hadron and to hear the kaddish. Mm-hmm. If you come late and you don't hear him say the hadron, but there's still food and they're still eating, that's good enough. The most important thing is to partake from the food of the seam. L'chatil, of course, you should hear that they actually make the seam and say the kaddish and make the hadron.
So then, with the case where the mother is fasting, she can send the kid.
Right. So there's another thing though is that you have to eat in the place where the seam was made. Where the seam was made to go and take the food from the seam was made to take somewhere else is a little bit of a weak. All right. So these are general halachas of seam. By the way, they were the chassidim. That had a different. The makor for fasting for an Er Pesach comes from Masechtas Sofrim. Okay, it's a small Masechta in the back of Seder Nezakin, and there's a Shaila in the Girsa. There's another Girsa. Son of a tradition that the Girsa is that Bechoros not Misanin, which means to fast, but rather Misangin with a gimel. Which means they rejoice, they drink a lechayim. The minig is for the firstborns to make a party erev Pesach. Just the opposite, to make a party. And yeah, I remember the whole write about this is that there was a certain group of chassidim, very famous chassidim, that they don't fast. They don't, because their tradition is that b'chayros misangin, because they celebrate. They lost the Avodah, that's a whole Jewish when was it sold? When was the first birthright sold? Whatever it is. But we don't pass it like that. Many challenge that being correct. There are many reasons why it's very unlikely that the correct Girsa is Misangin, that they rejoice. The correct Girsa across the board is Misanin, they fast, and one is required to fast. Are you allowed to drink coffee before davening? Before davening, when you know that you're going to go to a siyum on that day? So many of us think, of course not, right? If you're going to fast, so the fast is not over until you attend a siyum and hear them say kaddish and eat from the siyum. Until you attend a siyum, you have to fast. Not necessarily. There are many places that are very lenient. And they say that if you need to drink a cup of coffee, like many people, before you daven, you wake up in the morning, the first thing you do is drink a cup of coffee. If you are planning to attend a siyum after davening, all goes according to plan, then you already can eat before davening. Not a lot. You can take a cup of coffee. You can be toy ma'at. That's a very big chiddush. There's no shalacha anyway, because since it's only a minug, it's only a minug. So and you're going to break the fast with the siyum. So we already look at we already soif maisa the machshava tachila. It's like the siyum has already happened. You can be lenient and you can already eat in the morning. Some want to combine that since there's another gears that says misangin. You can add that to the mix to the makel to drink a cup of coffee before davening if you're so accustomed to do so. Knowing that you will attend the siyum after that. I never understood like that. I always thought that you're locked in.
Yeah.
What?
Heavyweight tainus to begin with.
So. But so what? If it's a tainus, it's a tainus. It's a tradition. It's brought down in Masechta Sofrim. You can't play games with it. It's not just the minuk. It's actually in a Masechta. It's part of the Mishnayis. It goes all the way back. It's not Mamish, the Mishnayis, or Bein Rakodesh, the 60 Masechtas. But it's Masechta Sofrim is not something that you take lightly. This is not just a minhag that no one knows where it came from. We have chapter and verse to cite the source. You can't ignore this. You have to follow the rules here. No room, but there's an incredible leniency is that you can already drink coffee when you wake up in the morning if you are planning to attend the siyum. Not every Pesach is so pleased with this leniency. And they hold that if you can not drink a cup of coffee until you attend the siyum after davening, that would be a bit better.
Okay. It's also b'chor me'anim.
What?
Also b'chor me'anim.
B'chor, yes. I wish to mention, a b'chor even from the mother, right? But even not from the father. Any definition of firstborn, whether from the mother, from the father, whether even a koyin or a levi, does not follow the rules of Pinyin Aden. even if the mother had a miscarriage, multiple miscarriages before this child was born, he's still called the Bukhar. The only time he's not called the Bukhar is if Rahman al-Islam, there was a child was born and the child died. Even if the child died before 30 days. Even if the child died before 30 days, already the next child is not halachically called a Bukhar. Okay,
So that could deny during the night if you wake up, you go to sleep and you wake up in the middle of the night.
Do you have to make it tonight? Interesting. I did not see that discussion because There's a general rule. He's asking the following question. There is a general rule that on a regular time, let's say Shabbos Matamos, when does the fast begin? The fast begins when you go to sleep. When you go to sleep, that's really when the fast begins, unless you make a statement, I'm getting up early tomorrow to eat Negatanai, to eat before Alois HaShachar for the fast. If you don't make that, at least have a mental thought. I'm going to sleep, I'm waking up tomorrow at 6, 7 o'clock, and I'm going to go to shul, Then if you happen to wake up in the middle of the night and you want to eat, you can't. Because when you go to sleep, already really technically it begins, unless you prepare yourself in advance, that it should not be the case. So you're asking, when it comes to Tanis Bukhairim, do we apply the same rule? I don't know the answer. According to the opinion that says you have a cup of coffee in the morning before davening, for sure. But those that say that you have to wait until you actually break the fast, to what degree do we consider this to be a fast? I don't know the answer. L'chore not. L'chore, it's much, much more lenient than a regular fast day. Okay, let's now go to the next. Okay, you're not allowed to eat matzah erev Pesach. Some of the minig not eating any matzah that you can be yotzei yidei chayvosei on belil seder. You may not eat when erev Pesach according to the halacha. You're not allowed no minhagim this the halacha erev Pesach. Once it's alois hashachar, you want to eat breakfast. You can eat egg matzah. You can eat matzah that you cannot be yoytze yidei chayvasa, but matzah which you can be yoytze yidei chayvasa. And here's the chiddush: even matzah that's not shmura matzah, which you cannot be yoytze yidei chayvasa, but it's still called regular matzah, you may not eat. There are two. Why? Because of the tam matzah. You are required to eat the matzah to say the bitei avoyin with an appetite. If you eat in the morning of Pesach, Erev Pesach, matzah, flour and water, even if it's chometz matzah, it's not shemura matzah. It says on the box, do not use this matzah for Passover. There's no supervision that it did not turn into chometz. But it's matzah, so it has the taste of matzah. That's going to interfere with your ability to enjoy the matzah the night of the Seder. Now, the night before, you can. Okay, this prohibition of eating matzah only applies in the morning. Some of the minhag not eat matzah the whole Chodesh Nisan, the 15 days. Some of the minhag not eat matzah even going back to Purim. But me'ikar hadin, the only time you're not allowed to eat matzah is Erev Pesach in the morning. Egg matzah tastes different. And you cannot be yoytzi le'chayvasa, it tastes different as well. You can eat Erev Pesach until Chatzos. The meaning of Ashkenazim is not to eat egg matzah on Pesach. Why not? Because flour has been kneaded with fruit juices. And some are of the opinion that it becomes chametz much quicker than water. The 18-minute rule does not apply. So therefore, the meaning of Ashkenaz is not to eat egg matzah the entire Pesach, unless a choyle, someone who is ill, and is the only thing that he can chew, he may eat egg matzah. But everyone else may not. However, you're permitted l'chatchila to have it in your possession. You're allowed to have, just in case someone will need egg matzah, I'll have a guest who can't eat regular matzah, I want to be prepared for him. You l'chatchila are allowed to have in your home egg matzah. There's no issue of bal yeiro, bal yeimotze. It's a minug not to eat matzah ashira on Pesach. Now, what about, there's another halacha, very important halacha, Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach after Chatzos. After Chatzos, you're not allowed to make a bori minei mezoinos. Not everyone knows this halacha. Kinedlach. You're not allowed. Don't do the gebrochs, yeah? What?
It's only baked.
Baked. That's what I'm saying. Not cooked. Hasi, right. Baked, not cooked. You are correct. I'm sorry, baked. You're correct. Okay. After Chatzos, there's a halacha, you may not recite a borei minei mezonos if it's matzah. Now, when how could you ever make a borei minei mezonos? On if it's not bread, if it's not matzah. Matzah meal. No, rice kidney ice. Rice is not. If you eat kidney ice, You can make a borei minei mezonos. Yeah, it's an exception. That's correct. If you eat kidney ice, a sfardim with kidney ice, rice, you can make a borei minei mezonos after chatzos. Let's talk about Ashkenazim and not eating rice. Or let's talk about even sfardim. When is there potential to make a borei minei mezonos? Matzah meal. So basically, any product that's made from matzah meal that does not have the tsura of pas, the bracha is borei minei mezonos. Today there are a lot of cakes that you make a borei minei mezonos. Years ago there was no such thing. Years ago, what?
Years ago they had the cake mail.
Now there are.
Cake mail used.
No?
They don't do enough business.
There are. Yeah?
Schick is the only one
who used to make. Nine took over the whole
used to have cake mail.
All right, I don't know. Oh, so there are. I'm not into this. The prices to me are just alarming. But all the cakes not in the Bronx?
Yeah, because
not in the hotels. In the fancy hotels.
Because they're making their own product. They're not buying it.
No.
They're
what? Making hotels, it. Most of them are.
No, you're not going to get the Bronx in
the lowest common denominator. Because they want to appeal to everybody.
But it tastes so good.
So what?
All right, fine. Okay, everybody's fine. Whatever it is, but technically speaking, there's an important halacha to be aware of. In the event that you do eat gebrox, and you do eat gebrox, so then there's potential for you to have a cake or a product that you make a mezonos, that you do not make a hamotzi. If that product has been baked in an oven, it is also, according to Shulchan Aruch, to make that borei minei mezonos erev Pesach after Chatzos, because it takes away from your appetite to eat the matzah.
Use like a sponge cake.
Sponge cake is shahako.
No, but if you make it,
and if it's baked, yes, that's right. Anything which is a borei minei mezonos, you're not allowed to make after Chatzos. Two conditions: it has to be borei minei mezonos, and has to be baked. If it's mezonos, but it's cooked, so you would make a mezonos, if you have a knedel. A knedel is cooked. It's mutter. Because a knedel, even though it's matzah meal, and it's a borei minei mezonos, but it's cooked. So it's permitted. If you could brok. Matzah bar is fried. Good question. That's a big machlokes apoiskim. It's a big machlokes. First of all, if you have a matzah bry, that's a shayla that it's matzah. Okay, so you may technically be yotze even. There's a whole shayla because that already has the tam matzah.
What?
You make a mozi on it. So that's already probably off limits because it's already the tam of matzah. But let's say you would have something fried, that's made from mizoinois, that does not have the tsura and the tam of matzah. Are you allowed to eat such a dish erev Pesach after Chatzos? It's a major machlokes apoiskim. If a halacha we consider something fried to have the same status as something baked. Okay, next halacha. Are you allowed to have moror erev Pesach? Salad. Okay, if you're having salad, what's in the salad? Lettuce. Lettuce is moror. Chazeres. Are you allowed to? Machlokes apoiskim. It doesn't really say anywhere that you're not allowed to. It appears that me ikar hadin, you're allowed to. There's no real limit if you want to have a salad. So it's only midrabban, it's a mis of midrabban, it's not the right thing to go. Exactly, it does not say. He writes Zev Hafstad, is that it appears that looking, searching all the svarim, is that there is indeed a minhag not to eat moror erev Pesach. But he can't find any makar for this. There's no makar. The only makar is not to eat matzah.
What about eggs and potatoes?
No question. Mutter. That for sure is mutter.
Moror
is a mitzvah derabanan to eat moror. Make a special brach. Asher kiddushan v'mitzvah 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 v' For some reason, there may be a minute. Now, that's going to limit your meals on Erev Pesach, because if you want to have a salad, it's very likely in the salad you have lettuce, or maybe something else. And that, according to many opinions, endives is certainly called moror. So, are you allowed to have a salad Erev Pesach? Me'ikir hadin, yes. There's no such thing as, you don't have a te'ovon for bitterness. Moror is not a very pleasant type of there's no such thing as, oh, you should eat the moror b'te'ovon. There's no mishigas, oh, you should enjoy the moror. No such thing. No such thing. So me'ikir hadin, there is no question. Me'ikir hadin, you are allowed to eat salad Erev Pesach, achar chatzos. You're going to tell me this is a minute? I don't know. I don't know what to say. Okay, Erev Pesach after Chatzos has the same status as Chol Hamoed. It's a yomtiv. Why is it a yomtiv? Because it's the zman of Hakrovas Korban Pesach. When a person brings a korban, it's his yomtiv. It's your personal yomtiv. The whole Klal Yisrael brings Korban Pesach. It's everyone's personal yomtiv. It's mamish a yomtiv. You're not allowed to do things after Chatzos like you cannot do on Chol Hamoed. Therefore, haircuts osur. You're not allowed to get a haircut after Chatzos. The barbers have to close up after Chatzos. The Jewish barbers have to shut down after Chatzos. You're not allowed to launder your clothing. No washing clothing in the washing machine after Chatzos. However, here's a trick. If Chatzos, let's say, is 1 o'clock, you're allowed to put your clothing in the washing machine at 12:59, 59 seconds. Okay? You're allowed to do a run on your clothing the very last second. Push the button and let the clothing, the machine, do the job past Chatzos.
And dry it afterwards?
Yes. If it's finished, you're allowed to put clothing in a dryer lechatchila after Chatzos. The prohibition is to turn on the washing machine. That is the prohibition. Don't press the button on after 1 o'clock. Before 1 o'clock, you're allowed to, even though the machine will do its job, 99.99% after 1 o'clock. Just you don't push the button before, after that. What?
Could the maid do it?
Could the maid do it? It's a good question. L'chor or not? L'chor, if they do it on their own. They're doing it on their own. Let's say you really don't have what to wear. Someone has said that, Bezman has said, Bechlal, you probably can be lenient because there are poiskim that say that today washing machines should be mutter really lit mikar adin. It's not called washing. Washing time chazal meant yishvitz. It's one of the greatest inventions, and you can't even begin to imagine what an invention is. A washing machine. It's a miracle invention.
You went to the river.
Oh, it must have been torture. We have no clue how blessed we are. Indoor plumbing. You know what indoor plumbing is? You couldn't live today without indoor plumbing. A washing machine? Can you mask what a washing machine is? These are things. So someone to say is that today there's no such thing as a prohibition of washing clothing, even in Chol HaMoed. It's because what are you doing? You're pressing a button? Come on, that's not what Chazal said you can't do. However, Minhag Yisrael is a minhag, we don't do it. But you don't have to be more machmir than you need to. And therefore, as long as you push the button before 1 o'clock, you're okay. You could definitely put the clothing in the dryer after Chatzos, but you cannot take a haircut, and you should not do any type of complex melacha after Chatzos, just like you would not do on Chol HaMoed, unless it's a davar ha'avid. Next. Okay, wine. Are you allowed to drink wine Erev Pesach? You're allowed to drink only a very small amount or a lot. Because a very small amount will have no effect on you, and a lot will adrab, will give you a te'ovain. It's not very practical, obviously. The best thing is, obviously, just not to drink wine. To figure out all of the shiurim, it's already complicated, complicated enough. Okay, by the seder, you're supposed to go all out. Okay, you prepare for the seder, you're supposed to use your best. Take out the best stuff you have. Mishnah Berurah is something very, very fascinating. You're supposed to set the table yourself. If you have a maid, if you have a help, you're not supposed to let a goy, a non-Jew, set the seder table. How do you like that? Go tell that to the hotels. Okay? A Jew is supposed to set the seder table. Do not allow a non-Jew to set up the table, to put down the fork and knife and the napkin. Problem is, a Jew don't even know if you put the fork on the right side or the left side. where everything goes. But that is sort of the Mishnah Brura sites that take some pride in the chashivos of the Lel Seder, not to let the maid do it.
Is that under Yochid Moshavai?
Could be.
So you can set your Seder plate, your pepper?
Everything. You gotta do everything.
Because you know the waiters are setting the tables. I mean, that's a given, but you can do your part with your...
Okay. Fine, whatever. Obviously, not everyone adheres to this Mishnah Berurah. In the hotels, they have a different Shulchan Aruch in the hotels. Someone used to say to me, oh, you give shiurim, tell everyone what it says, but you have your own Shulchan Aruch. You preach whatever you shalem, but you go home, you do whatever you want, you have your own Zdimi Musa, you have your own Shulchan Aruch. By the side, the hotels have their own Shulchan Aruch. Don't bother. Next. Okay, you burn the chametz. Burning the chametz is done in the fifth hour. The burning of the chametz is done l'chatchila, the end in the fifth hour when it's osur to eat chametz. Now, because chametz is osur to eat, men who they burn the chametz at the end of the fifth hour, it makes it very hard for the rabbis, because the rabbis have to do the mechira after the burning of the chametz. Because if the rabbanim will sell the chametz early in the morning to the guy, then the Jew owns nothing. The Jew owns nothing, then when they burn the chametz, it's already sold. Because when the rabbi sells the chametz, he doesn't take chances. He sells everything that you own, whether you like it or not. So even though you think that you're retaining possession of some of your chametz, the rabbi doesn't trust you. Usually the rabbanim, when they sell the chametz to the guy, they tell the guy, Yoyser Masha Kosov Ka. More than what's written in the shtar, we're selling you every last thing that any Jew that I'm responsible for owns. He may think that he still has a little bag of 10 pieces of chametz that he put out. Guess what? It's not even yours anymore. The rabbi sold it for you. So therefore, that is why the rabbi has to sell the chametz to the guy the very last moment of the fifth hour, to make sure all the people, when they burn their chametz, they burn the chametz while they still own the chametz, and then the rabbi sells the leftovers. So the mekayim, the mitzvah of tashbisu. Now, why then don't you just burn? Make it easy for the rabbi and burn your chametz early in the morning? Well, you can, but l'chatchila, the ideal time is to burn it during the zman iser achila, when it's still muta be'ana. If you're on the run, you're traveling, you're going away, you are going to work, you can definitely burn your chametz early in the morning, and you can even burn it with no hesitation at night. If a person is going away and you want to get, and you have no choice, you cannot be bothered early in the morning, you have to leave immediately on the run, you're allowed to burn your chametz after the bedika at night. Not everyone knows that halacha. Don't tell that. People, the fire department is not going to be very happy hearing about that. Okay. If you find chametz on Pesach, what do? What happens? So generally, it's not yours. It's not your problem because the rabbi sold the chametz. If you find in your house chametz, it's really not your chametz. So what do you do with it? You just cover it. It's muksa. You cover it, and after chol hamoed, you put it in the room. You put it in the room where all of your chametz is stored. The only time it's sakar, you have to burn the chametz, is only when it becomes chametz on Pesach, which is extremely rare. It's extremely rare if you have a hechetim, so where chametz, something turns into chametz on Pesach itself. That is where the chametz has to be burnt on Chol HaMoed, and when you burn that chametz, you make a bracha. Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokim Melech Olam, Asher Kedushan B'mitzvos V'Tzivanu Al Bi'ur Chametz. You actually make a bracha when you burn the chametz on Chol HaMoed. You do not burn the chametz on Yom Tov itself because it's muksa. If you find chametz on Yom Tov, so if the chametz already existed before Pesach began, so you really have no obligation to burn it. You cover it, and then during Chol HaMoed, you can throw it in the garbage. You could burn it if you want. You can flush down the toilet. Don't touch it though. On Yom Tov itself, people are saying you find chametz, you flush it down the toilet. That's not correct. It's muksa. You're not allowed to touch it. On Yom Tov itself, you just cover it. Chol HaMoed, You flush it down the toilet or you burn it. Do you make a bracha? No, because it's not mine. I'm burning someone else's things. So you want to burn it, whatever, you'll deal with the guy after Pesach, fine. But you can burn it, but don't make a bracha. The only time these halachas apply when you have to burn and make a bracha, an extremely rare case where it first turns into chametz on Pesach itself. You have flour and water, and you make chametz on Pesach, now you have to burn it and make a bracha. No, it's not. Kol Chamira, it's not in Yerushas. Kol Chamira can only be said when it's still in Yerushas. You do not recite Kol Chamira after the fifth hour, the sixth hour. There's nothing possibly you can do.
I went to an incident. It was extraordinary. Where we invited people that were not from, that was Zeta, and they gave me a box of matzah, and I thought it was like a Harvard's matzah, regular matzah.
Chametz matzah.
I almost fainted after they left. I saw it was.
So you took possession. So in a chanami, so
right,
that case,
covered,
so you have to burn it.
I covered it up and then I burnt it.
You
on.
Burnt it and you make a bracha. A bracha?
Yeah.
You made a bracha.
The whole shebang.
The whole shebang. You made a bracha because you were kind it. Asher kedushan b'mitzvah sivanu al bir chametz.
It was extraordinary.
Okay, yeah. So you learned this halacha, you're mekayim the halacha. So that itself is extraordinary. Okay, kidney ice. Rabbi say Ashkenazim have a midig nati kidney ice. What is kidney ice? Good question. What is kidney ice? Kidney ice is beans. Something that resembles wheat. What's the reason why we don't eat kidney ice? Because in ancient times, going back now to ancient times, they would store beans together with wheat, or they would, the same field that was used to plant wheat, they would plant beans. They would alter in order to mechazet the crop, in order to allow the ground, the earth, to rejuvenate. They would alternate different crops. Okay, it's not healthy for the earth to deplete its nutrients year after year. So you would give it a break. But when you would give it a break, you wouldn't give it a total break. You would plant something which is not so demanding upon the earth. You would plant beans, kidney ice. So there's always going to be leftovers in the kidney ice. In the kidney ice, when you harvest the kidney ice, you may accidentally, from the previous year, pick up some kernels of wheat, and then that's not shomor, it turns into chametz. So beans and wheat got mingled together in the lands of Ashkenaz. In the lands of the Sephorad, this was never an issue. It was a different culture, and they didn't have different techniques. Different agricultural, and they had different techniques. And there was never an issue of the mingling of beans and wheat. That's why the Sfardim don't know from this. Today, Ashkenazim also don't know from this because we live in a modern world and the mingling of beans and wheat is extremely rare. However, minug avoseinu biodeinu, we continue not to eat kidney ice. There are other reasons because some kidney ice, they looks like the certain type of kidney ice which looks like wheat, has the same resemblance. And they also, the mixing of the flours, they would take kidney ice and they would make it into a flour, and it's maris ayin. If you can go and you can take flour made from corn, why can't I go use flour made from wheat? So there are many different reasons not to go into the Tzana Shunan and kidney ice, but kidney ice, the minig avaseinu, but Ashkenaz is not to eat kidney ice. However, you're not allowed to eat kidney ice, but you're allowed to have it in your possession. There's no reason why you cannot have kidney ice. You do not sell kidney ice products. You can keep it in your house. There's no problem. Only eating if your Bounty paper towels, the glue is made from kidney ice, it's okay. You're not eating your paper towels. And if some of the paper towels goes and touches your dishes, don't worry. Chazal, no intent. It's a very great chumrah, an extremely great chumrah not to eat kidney ice. Ein lecha b'yosem l'chidusho, there is absolutely no need to go any more machmer than is the ikar hadin. Now, what exactly is called kidney ice? When they made the takana, there are certain things that did not exist in the lands of the Ashkenaz, in Germany and France, like quinoa. What's it called? I forgot how to pronounce it.
Quinoa.
What about potatoes? Why isn't potatoes called quinoas? What about corn? I forgot all of these. Okay, so this is big machlekes apoyskim. What is kidneys? What's not kidneys? Everyone has their minug. The OU originally passed the quinoa is not kidney ice. And then they had a change of heart. Public pressure. Oilam wanted to be machmir and they outlawed quinoa. Quinoa is, I don't know what's so great or tasty about it. I don't find it to be very appealing. It's good we have something else, but for some reason people, they need it. I don't know what the mishkas is about, but in any event, all different types of things of kidney ice, but you're allowed to have it in your possession, if you have a medication that has kidney oils, even a vitamin, you can eat it. If it's vitamins or medication, that is not included in the... Sorry, that's too much of a chumra. You're allowed to consume vitamins and medication that have in it kidney oils. Make sure it's kosher Pesach, but if the only issue is kidney oils, it's not an issue. There are many things that you'd be shocked to know are kidney oils. Vitamin C is kidney oils. All vitamin C comes from some kidney oils. Okay, green beans. Okay, a lot of things people don't know. Green beans. A NutraSweet. Okay, NutraSweet. Okay, the sweetener there, this is made from kidney oils. Okay, so you need to get a kosher Pesach sweetener. Don't use NutraSweet because it has kidney oils. String beans, soy, green beans, kasher, mustard. Like you like tofu, they don't sit around too much anymore. Tofu, that's a certain type of ice cream. A lot of things. A lot of things you'd be shocked. Chickpeas, corn, poppy seeds, rice, sesame seeds. There's all these things that can pronounce some of these things. Okay, whatever it is, it is. Now, what about cotton seed oil? And what about peanuts? Are peanuts kidney oils? Machloikas. Some yes, some no. Okay, everyone has their minug. Everyone has a different minute. What about the eighth day of... What about... all right, let's look at that. Okay. Let's not do that. I want to go quickly. Now, besides... No, those who do not eat kidney oils, do not eat kidney oils. Achron Shal Pesach, they do not eat kidney oils. There's no heter. There's a heter of gebrokst. Achron Shal Pesach. But there is no heter of kidney oils. Achron Shal Pesach. So Ashkenazim who do not eat kidney oils may not eat kidney oils even... on Acharon Shel Pesach. No excuses for us Ashkenazim. Go to Eretz Yisrael. It seems the Sfardim have won the war. It's all kidney oils. Everything there, from beginning to end, Ashkenazim, a very hard time in Eretz, all the products there are all kidney oils. Except for bazooka.
Bazooka gum.
Bazooka gum.
O-U-P.
No kidney case. So in Eretz Yisrael, the Sfardim have won the war. Okay, now what about, there are other things that people do not eat, and it's not so clear why. It's not kidney oils, it's just the minag Yisrael, because in previous generations, these items had a lot of halachic issues with them, relating to chametz, and it became the minag not to eat, and today these are not issues anymore, so there are those that still hold to the minag not to eat them. What are they? Honey. Honey, well, fish, what are you saying? Fish.
Yeah.
Honey. You see, they don't eat honey. No honey, no dried fruits, and no roasted nuts. Now, like I told you, today a lot of people don't want to know from this. But there used to be, there were people, the old timers, it's the minhag Yisrael not to use honey on Pesach. Oh, what can be wrong with it? It's not kidney, it's kosher Pesach under supervision. Tradition, because many, many years ago, many moons ago, honey was off limits. Because honey, the only honey available was choshud, that it was the ingredients added to blend in the honey that were chametz. Roasted nuts had issues as well, and dried fruits. Therefore, it was off limits. Today, it's not an issue.
Now, any fruit that you can't peel, many will not eat.
Yeah. You can't peel because of it was treated, yeah.
When we were kids, they asked garlic.
Garlic? Yeah, that's right, that's right. Cloves, that's right, that's right. There were things.
They were stored in flour.
Right, okay.
That's what it was.
They were stored in flour, they were issues. Today, they're not issues. There's no problem today whatsoever. So eat it, right? So yet, I'm not into these things. Yet, people who hold very strongly to their traditions... who hold strongly will not allow these products because it's not just a matter of kosher, not kosher. Pesach is a unique holiday. It's a holiday of tradition, and the minig of Aseinu, they don't eat these products. Okay?
No, Pesach is also the one place where it says, Kol HaMachmir
Tavo Yolam. Okay, but there has to be a ground for a chumrah. There's no ground for chumrah today. Honey, what are you going to tell me?
Olive dried fruit.
Because it was made out of chametz. There was a processing that involved chametz. 100 years ago. I don't know.
I've heard that dried fruit was a problem during the year, but
Books. No, 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 no.
No, no, no.
Chametz.
That's a big...
I'm speaking about the flour aspect of it for myself. But that, you know, that kosher with Pesach was not...
That was a big issue with raisins. The dried was no good, but some dried is good.
Okay, today I don't think people are so machmer anymore. Today,
they used to store in alcohol.
Right, right. These issues. Today, the new generation doesn't want to know from this.
Olives from Israel.
Yeah.
Has a CRC or the Badas Hashem, and it says that it does not apply to Pesach. The reason is because they use garlic in putting this. But I did see this week. A chili sauce that had garlic as one of the ingredients, and it had the Ada, had the CRC.
Okay, see that? The machmer today.
This, they were usually machmer, and suddenly
they changed the decision. Interesting. Very interesting. Kesef Yanes Akol. Okay, interesting. Okay, these are. Okay, let's go now. Matzah. Let's talk about matzah. There's a halach in Shulchan Aruch called a matzah kifula and matzah nefucha. You look at our matzah today, many times you'll see this folded. You'll see a fold here and there on the matzah. According to Shulchan Aruch, it's chametz. Mamish chametz. If there's a bubble, it's chametz. Today, the reason why we're not makbid on this is because our matzah is so paper thin, we don't view this to be called kifula. However, you should know there are people that there are machmir on this. If a matzah is folded, the Shulchan Aruch does not differentiate between a thin matzah, a thick matzah. Fold is a fold. It's over. Okay, there will be whatever it is, but there is something called a halacha that you're not allowed to eat a matzah kifula and matzah nefucha. Mm-hmm. Today we're very not machmir on this, but it does say this in Shulchan Aruch.
Have a chavura, the owner of the matzah.
What?
Pass a lot of
they would destroy. If you would follow someone told you, they go to the matzah bank factory and you would go and the mashkiach would knock out all the matzah kefula, they would go out of business. Even though they're already charging you $50 a pound, but they would lose a lot of money. Okay. Okay, we discussed if you're a guest, if what nefucha means it's a bubble. There's a bubble of bubbles.
Yeah,
so today it doesn't make a difference because they're so thin. You don't see. It says it in Shulchan. Shulchan is so machmir. You have a matzah that's nefucha, not just the part that's nefucha. The whole matzah is chametz. What? Why is the whole matzah chametz? We're missing some information, Rabbi Isai. The way they made matzah back in the day is not the way we make matzah today. And therefore, even if one part of the matzah is nefucha, it affects the whole matzah. The whole matzah is chametz. Just take that section away and throw it in the garbage. And the rest will be a shavura. Okay, obviously today we're not machbet on this because we don't make matzah the same way.
The brass came about because the matzah was
Yeah.
And the
there's some flour inside, right? That right. There's some flour inside that's not been fully baked. When you go to the seder, if you're a guest, do you have to go and is there a din of lochem on the matzah? Yes, but we assume that it's a given that the guest is giving you the matzah. You don't need to be from and make a keen on the matzah. Hagbah. Like mechiras chametz. You do hagbah. You don't need to do that. Even the chazon ish. He did not demand that his guests do hagbah on the matzah. Okay, there's no need to acquire if you're a guest, even though there's a din d'oraisa of lochem, we assume you have to own the matzah. It's a given. If you're a guest, the matzah that you will eat will be yours. If they're inviting you, they want you to fulfill the mitzvah, they're giving you the matzah yours to keep. Now let's discuss some more. What? Gezeres Shavah, Tesvav, Tesvav. We have a Gezeres Shavah. A Gezeres Shavah, Tesvav, we compare many of the laws of Pesach, the laws of Sukkot. And by Sukkot it says lekachtem lochem, so we apply that rule to matzah as well, according to many poskim. Next, because it's too expensive. In Eretz Yisrael, they're very very poor, and when a yeshiva bachur comes to Baal Abbas for the seder, it's enough that he's feeding you a piece of chicken that he can't afford to go to give you a $50 matzah. That's a little bit over the top. So in Eretz Yisrael, when you go to when Yeshiva Bachim go to a host or a seminary girl, it is customary that they bring their own matzah, or at least they pay them in advance because you know not everyone can afford this; it's very expensive. Okay, next, shleimim. Okay, don't get too worked up about what's called the shalim. You have to have lechem mishnah, the whole yamtif. So what is called a shalim? What is called a shalim? Obviously, don't get too worked up. It's a little cracked here and there. We're not so machmir in what is called a shalim. Now, let's discuss the Dalet Kaisais very quickly. Dalet Kaisais, what's the shear of the Dalet Kaisais? So this year it's Shabbos. Shabbos is Shabbos, meaning the first Kais is more chomor than the other three Kaisais because it's Lel Shabbos. And Lel Shabbos, you need the Kiddush is the Raisa, and therefore we're more machmir to have a larger shear. So whatever, the shear was very, very complicated. Basically, between three to 5 ounces. It's not all that much. It's how much the kois must contain. It should contain maybe for the Friday night, maybe a little bit more than 3 ounces. But basically, it's between 3 and 5 ounces. How much do you have to drink? So lechatchila, you drink the entire kois. The next thing is to drink a revius. A revius is basically 3 ounces, 2.9, 3 ounces. The next thing would be to drink roiv revius, or to drink roiv kois. The goal is to have small cups. Because if you have a very, very big cup, so then lechatchila you're supposed to drink the whole cup, or to drink the majority of the cup, which could be more, it can be a couple of reviyasim. So don't get yourself in that situation. You should get yourself in a situation where the entire cup does not hold more than you're obligated to have. You have a cup that holds 4 ounces or 5 ounces. So that's already a nice amount. You want to drink less. I have a cup that has 3 ounces. And that way drink the entire cup. If you can't, then drink the majority of the cup. And that way you're drinking roiv kois and you're drinking roiv revis. Now the last kois, you're in trouble. Because the last kois, you have to recite an al hagefen. You have to recite an al hagefen. So there it's not enough to drink roiv of a revis. You have to drink the entire kois in order that you can make the bracha al hagefen. If a person cannot drink the entire kois, so for the mitzvah of dalet kaisais, you do not need to drink a revis. You only need to drink at most a roiv revis. So then you should not be the one who makes the al hagefen. Someone else should make for you the al hagefen. You answer amen. Maybe none of the halacha. What? No, someone has to make. You have to drink. No. Everyone, in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of dalet kaisais, you must drink 4 times at least a roiv revius.
Right. But you can share with other people.
What do you mean share with other people?
No such thing.
The one who recites the bracha al hagafen himself must have consumed full revius.
Yeah,
you cannot take your revius and distribute it, and I'll make an alagefen, a collective alagefen, because together we drank, we consumed. No, you cannot.
No.
You can be yoitze the mitzvah of kiddush if everyone drinks a small amount, which small amount. You don't even need to drink. Just drink an mikra adin for kiddush. Even a small te'ima b'di'eved would be enough. B'di'eved.
You cannot.
You drink
alagefen after the third, and you drink alagefen after the fourth.
No,
you can't combine.
That's
you do.
You
can't combine them for the alagefen.
Or you're saying birchas hamazon. You're saying very good.
You drink the third.
Birchas hamazon. You're drinking.
The
third.
Now you're drinking the fourth.
So
can
why
can
we combine
them?
The third and the fourth to make the alagefen? It's a very good question. I hear what you're saying. I don't know the answer.
No.
9 minutes, 10 minutes.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
It's
10 minutes. I don't know the answer. What do you mean? So what? If you drink the combination of the third and fourth kois, a revius, you should be able to make an alagefen.
Yes, I would think
so. Why is there a problem? He says here there's a problem with the fourth kois. I don't know the answer. Yes, a very good question. I know the answer. But he's saying in the sefer, he's saying that
you drink the fourth kois.
According to the laws of the Dalet Kaisais, you only need to drink a roiv revius. And what do you do in the Haggadah after you drink the fourth kois?
If you drink a roiv revius,
what does it say in the Haggadah to do to make an ala gefen? But people don't realize that you only need to drink a rovi. Everyone comes with a small cup. I have my cup is 3 ounces, and now it comes to the fourth course. I drink 1.6. I'm yoytzei the da. I'm yoytzei the mitzvah the rabbanon of drinking dalit kaisa. So drinking rovi reviews for my fourth cup, but I cannot recite an al hagefen if I only consumed a roi revius. I need to consume a full revius. So if that's the case, so what should you do? Don't make the bracha. And the best thing was someone else at the Seder table who did drink a revius of yayin, he should recite the bracha al hagefen out loud, and you should answer amen to his bracha to be yoytzei. Just the wise is asking, you'll never have a hechatimsa. Because since after the third kois you need to drink a roiv revius to be yoisei the third kois of the dalad koisos, and you need to drink a roiv revius of the fourth kois, those two roivs should combine to be more than a revius, where you yourself can make the ala gefen. Why can't we combine kois number 3 and kois number 4 to be considered that you've consumed a full revius of yayin, where you lechatchila can make your own bracha no matter what?
Maybe,
I don't know the answer.
Maybe because Absolutely. Made a Berapia Goffin, which shows a complete break between the third. Lechatchila
should say that. So what?
Okay.
Another halacha. That's the rule of the Dalek Kais. Now, once you mentioned that bracha, it's a very interesting point you just made, which applies to which people do not aware of. Let's talk about Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch dessert. Do you normally make a bracha on dessert? The general rule of thumb is, if your dessert is a shahachol, ha'etz, or ha'adama, you definitely make a bracha on dessert. That is the halacha. You're at a suda, and they serve you dessert, and the dessert is a shahachol, a ha'etz, or ha'adama, you are mechuyev to recite a bracha, mishag, even like wash, because dessert is not ba machmas ha'suda. It's not machmas ha'suda, and so therefore you make a special bracha. Let's say they serve you mezoinites. So then what is the halacha? That's a big machlek, that's a whole discussion in and of itself. Generally the answer is no. Generally when they serve you for dessert, a food item upon which the bracha is a mezonos, ruba de ruba, you do not recite a mezonos. But the point I want to make, that let's say they give you hadama. Let's say you go to a beautiful Seder in a hotel and they bring out these exotic desserts and they bring out watermelon. Okay, they bring out watermelon for dessert. So you normally would make a hadama. Big problem about the Seder, because you made a borei pri hadama on the karpas. And the reason why you make the borei pri hadama on the karpas is to pater the moror. But also you made a borei pri hadama in the beginning which paters all borei pri hadamas. On the other hand, exactly like what you said, but already that expired. The borei pri hadama that you made on the karpas, maybe it's good for the moror, but to say that it already should go and keep on going to the end of the seder, that it should work for the dessert, is a question. What are the issues? I'm not sure exactly. And therefore, you cite something of an incredible chiddush, la halacha, at your seder, do not serve a dessert upon which the bracha is ho'adama. Because it's a halachic dilemma to which there is no answer. No dessert at Shulchan Aruch should not be a food item upon which you make ho'adama, because you don't really know if you can make what to do. Under normal circumstances, you would be mechuyif pashut, you make ho'adama on dessert, that's ho'adama. But since at the seder you already made a borei pri hadama on the karpas, with the kavara that it should exempt the maror, and no child from any yeshiva will come and tell you, when you make the borei pri hadama on the karpas, shav kavana for the maror and for the dessert. You've never heard that. Okay? That you've never heard. You've heard the children say, you have kavana for the maror. Because it comes to the maror, we don't make a borei pri hadama. But you've never heard one of your grandchildren tell you, when you make the borei pri hadama on the karpas, having kavana for the dessert we're going to serve at the end of Shulchan Aruch. You don't have any kavana for that. But you did make a borei pri hadama. So does it count? Does it not count? So therefore, Abayisai, you go to the hotels and check out the menu. And if you find there on the menu they're serving for dessert something, Shabir Chosai is borei pri hadama, the answer is They have their own Shulchan Aruch. What? With matzah, then yeah, then it becomes a toffle to the matzah. Okay, that's a new chiddush. Rabbi Yisrael, running out of time. How many kezesim do you have matzah to eat at the Seder? Okay, remember the magic number. How many in total? I wanted a total number from beginning to the end of the Seder and the reason, and we'll discuss the shiurim in a few moments. Holy, hear me out. Important, this is halacha. This is not a joke. This is not chumrah. This is halacha. The truth is, you end up eating 5 kizesim of matzah throughout the Seder from beginning to end. Let me explain. Let's go to the Seder. It's very important to say today. Okay, the ka'ara, there's only one ka'ara for the whole family. One, but matzah, if you could afford, lechatchila, every Rosh Shabbayis, if possible, should have his own matzahs. 3 matzahs. Kohen Levi Yisrael. The Rosh Habayis has 1 kara. Okay, the kara with all the things on top of it. But the matzois, so lechatchila, if you can, every family should have, you have a lot of guests, every should have their own 3 matzos. If not, it's okay, only the Rosh Habayis has 3 matzos. What do you do in the top, middle, and the bottom? What do you do? Yachatz, you break the middle matzos into 2 parts. You put away the larger piece for later. Who do you give it to? The old minig is you give it. You don't let the child steal it. You give it to the child. You empower him. You have to guard it. You have to guard it because the Karm Pesach may not become Tame. You have to guard. It's the Mesorah. You entrust. You empower. We had a whole discussion about this. A lot of beautiful push on this. About giving the matzah to the child to guard. Should not become tamei. The small piece of matzah is going to be your lechem oini. The small piece of matzah in the middle is going to be the matzah upon which you recite the entire Haggadah. That matzah is key. Don't forget about that matzah. Now you have 3 pieces. The big piece, the middle piece, and the bottom piece. When every time you say matzah, zoyishanu oichlim, you pick up the middle piece. The megalna samatzos, it's not the top and the bottom, it's megala, the middle piece, because that's the lechem oini, the broken piece of matzah, the small piece of matzah. Fine. You have the small piece of matzah. Now let's fast forward. You come to the Haggadah, you make the brachas. How many brachas are you making? 2 brachas. Baruchatu Hashem, Mokim Melech Olam, Hamoitzi Lechem Min Haaretz. And then you make another bracha. Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvaysa V'tzivanu Alachilas Matzah. So you're making 2 brachas. You're making 2 brachas, you eat 2 kezesim, a kezayis for this halacha, a kezayis for al a moitzi lechem min haaretz. It's yomtiv. It's yomtiv. You have to have lechem mishneh for yomtiv. You have to have a shleimim, and you're also making a special bracha of al achilas matzah, the matzah of mitzvah, the matzah that the seder. So that's the middle. So here's what the procedure is: you take all 3 matzos together, all 3 together. And you make Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Hamoitzi Lechem Min Aretz, because you need Lechem Mishneh, and the Lechem Mishneh have to be Shleimim. The top matzah and the bottom matzah is your Lechem Mishneh. That's Shleimim. In between that stocking, you stick in there also your the matzah mitzvah, the broken piece of matzah. So you made the bracha Hamoitzi Lechem Min Aretz, and it's focused primarily on the top and the bottom. What do you eat Yom Tov? Yom Tov, which one do you take? The top one, right? Shabbos night, everyone knows. Shabbos night, Lechem Mishneh, what do you take? Shabbos night, the bottom. Shabbos day, what do you take? The top. You do it side by side? Side by side, but some old, those who do it top and bottom, you take the top. Yom Tov, you always take the top. Always take the top. So, you have 3 matzahs. Top, bottom, the top and the bottom is your Lechem Mishneh. In the middle is the yachatz. You make hamoitzi lechem min haaretz. That automatically means the top matzah is what you're going to eat to be mekayim yom the seudas yomtif. The kiddush b'mokayim seuda. The zechir of kiddush b'mokayim seuda. Seuda needs 2 matzos shleimim. The top is going to be what you're going to eat. Now, but it's Pesach matzah zo yishanu echol shuma. So what is asher? Then you drop. You drop the bottom, you drop. Don't drop it too hard. Okay, but you drop the bottom matzah, and now when you come to the second bracha, you only hold in your hand the top and the middle. And you recite Asher Kiddushon b'mitzvos v'mitzvanu al achilas matzah. The focus of the bracha is on the bottom, the broken piece. Why then do you have the top piece? Get rid of it. You don't want to. You already made a bracha because you don't want to be mafsik because he said hamotzi lechem v'aretz, and you're going to eat it, so you don't want to get rid of it. You need to hold it in your hand because you have to eat it right away. So don't get rid of the top. The top, the bracha was chal on the top and the bottom. I'm done with the bottom. Goodbye. The top I have to eat. So don't get rid of it. Hold it. But now I need to make a special bracha on the middle matzah. Asher kiddushan b'mitzvot for alachilas matzah. You made two brachas. Each bracha deserves a kezayis. So either kezayis from the top matzah and the kezayis from the middle matzah. Yeah.
Question. Generally speaking, during the week, during radio, when you make a mitzvah, you have to eat kezayis?
No, you do not.
So why Shabbos do you have to?
Shabbos, you also don't really have to.
Only on Pesach?
Pesach or more machmir. You're right. You're saying a very good point. There is a machlekes apoiskim if you really, during the week, you should eat a kezayis. To bench. Yes, really for benching. For the bracha itself, I hear you saying, I don't have an answer. You're asking a good question. I don't know. We're more machmir Pesach. Pesach in general, all the halachas become inflated. Become very, very machmir. You make two brachas, two kezayisim. One from the top matzah, one from the middle matzah.
You eat them together?
Oh, lichatchila, you are supposed to chew them together and swallow them together, but don't try that at home. It may be a little difficult. Just be normal, okay? Now, obviously, you can't go distribute from this to all the people in the family, so it doesn't make a difference. If the Rosh Habayis does this, whatever they do, you can't really pay attention. If you could have, everyone could have their own three matzahs, that then you can really let a person do it the real way. That's a very big advantage. If everyone has their own three matzahs, so then you're really doing it the way it's supposed to. Everyone does a yachatz. Everyone has a three matzahs. Everyone makes a lechem mishnah. And then you drop the bottom. And then you have the top. And you take from the top a kezayis. Take from the bottom a kezayis. What is the kezayis? Big machlekes place. Let's first get through the kezayis. Okay, fine. There's already two. Already two. The lechem mishnah is one kezayis. The second kezayis is what? Is the matzah in the middle. Okay, Korech. Korech, another kezayis. Where does Korech come from? The bottom matzah.
Yeah,
you take from the bottom matzah to make Korech. Okay, that's already three kezayisim. Then, what?
No,
you're already done, right? Three kezayisim. Now, afikoyimin. How many? The afikoyimin was the larger piece. The larger piece. How many kezayisim do you for the afikoyimin?
Two
kezayisim. Why two kezayisim? Because the afikoyimin is connected to the carbon Pesach. The carbon Pesach was eaten together with matzah. Al matzois umirorim yochluhu. So even one kezayis connected the carbon Pesach, and another kezayis to connected the matzah that you eat together with the carbon Pesach. So remember, everybody say, sach hakol, it's five kezayisim of matzah lichatchila. One, four, the lechem mishnah, the top matzah. Two, for ahala, the most important one is achilas matzah. That's the most important one, achilas matzah. A third kezayis is for the korech. And then the end of the seder, you eat two more kezayis and one for the carbon pesach, a zecher le pesach, and one kineged, the matzah that was eaten together with the carbon pesach. A person cannot eat more than one kezayis. He should only eat the afikoyimin. Eat one because I make the bracha there. Don't wash. You only can eat one thing. So what do you do? What do you do? You don't have a choice. You have to eat the suda without washing. Ein kiddush of a person's a choyla, and you only can eat one kezayis of matzah. So you eat that kezayis of matzah as the afikoyimin. You wait to the very, very end. Don't eat matzah the whole meal. I guess you have to eat the meal without washing. Without.
So wash by the end.
You wash at the end, and you make hamoitzi, and you make alachilas matzah, and you eat one kezayis. That's enough. That one kezayis will be the last thing that you eat in the meal, because it's critical that the time of matzah remains in your mouth. You eat one kezayis at the end of the meal. That's going to be your afikoyimin. That's going to be your achilas matzah. You make the brachas, and that will be the last thing you do. And you eat a meal before. So you didn't wash. Oh, you just went to Patre. The Kiddush.
You go to Kiddush on Shabbos.
The Yayin, the wine. The wine at night, it's not something you can do that. Wine and bread. But you have no choice. So you do not wash until you come to the afikoyman. That is the correct thing to do. A person who can only eat one kezias does not wash. Don't wash. You wait until the family is up to the afikoyman, and then you wash, and you recite hamoitzi, and you recite alachilas matzah, and eat one kezias yotza yidei choyvasa. Now, what is the shear of a kezias? You should know that in this Sefer, I never could understand all these things way over my little head on the Sefer Kaddish. I never saw something that was explained with such detail and such clarity like in this Sefer. Rabbi Zev Hofstetter, he goes and he explains all the opinions of a Kezias in such simple terms, and it's very complex. It's very, very complex. He goes through all of the major opinions, including the Chazon Ish, including of Moshe Feinstein, and the Mishnah Brura, and of Chaim Noah. He goes through at least four opinions in great detail to explain the different opinions. So it comes out of the Maskana, the Mishnah Brura was the most machmir. Everyone thinks the Chazon Ish is machmir. It's not true. The Chazon Ish is the most machmir in regard to Yayin. The shear of Kois Shel Yayin, or Revis of Yayin, the Chazon Ish is the most machmir. But he's not the most machmir in his calculations when it comes to matzah. The Chofetz Chaim is the most machmir. What are the issues? Here are the issues. Number one is a kezias we assume to be half of an egg. A beitzah, an egg, is two kezesim. Now, what is the size of an egg? Go out into the market and there is jumbo, large, extra large, small, medium. Next question. When we say it's the size of an egg, does it include the shell or does it not include the shell? Machlokes between the Chazon Ish and the Mishnah Berurah. Number three, do we follow the principle that the eggs today are smaller than the eggs at the time of Chazal? There is such an approach. Number three, is it a deraisa or is it a midrabanan? The only thing that's a deraisa today is alachilas matzah. Afikoyman is not deraisa. The second kezias of the matzah, of the mass that was in, is not a deraisa. Korich is not a deraisa. Lechem Mishnah is not a deraisa. The only deraisa is the ma'achilas matzah. So if you want to be machmer and say that the eggs today are half the size of the eggs in time of Chazal, you only have to, that someone is, you have to be machmer when it comes to a deraisa. So there are so many moving parts. There are so many variables. Are the eggs today smaller? Are they not? Even if you hold they are smaller, they're not smaller. What is an egg? Is it a medium-sized egg, a large-sized egg? Is it include the shell? Does not include the shell? How do you calculate the egg? There are so many. Is it a deraisa, the rabbanon? There are so many variables that basically whatever you do, Rabbi Yisai, you're covered. Okay, the Tanker Rav, I have a neighbor who ate the seder by him every single year for many, many years. He could not understand all of these charts and all of these things. He matzah, you eat matzah, you don't pay attention. You take the matzah, whatever you eat, you eat. You don't. What's the chesbonos? You come to the seder, you break the matzah, you eat some matzah. How much, whatever he ate, who's paying attention? Who is paying attention to Shiurim? It's a Mishagas. They never did this. Cheshboinos, this, that. No one made Cheshboinos. This is a new thing that we make Cheshboinos. You eat five kezesim. What is the kezias? So it's almost impossible to determine because every matzah has a different thickness. The thickness of the matzah makes a major, major difference in the size of a kezias.
That's why I saw in the store, they have the, if you saw that some of the swarm stores,
they have scales. Scales. The bottom line is, you'd be surprised, the numbers and the charts that they're presenting you are inflated. They're assuming that you're using paper-thin matzahs. A lot of these things that they put out in front of you with the sizes, they assume you're using the matzah thick, so probably giving you half the size of what they give you. Basically, a kazayas of a hand matzah, of an average hand matzah, of a normal thickness, it's probably close to a kazayas. One kazayas probably close to a third or even less than a hand matzah. About a third or maybe even less. So a third. So two kazayasin would be 2/3 of a matzah l'chol hayoyser, more likely a half. But it does come out of chiddush that if you're eating 5 kazayasin, it means you're eating a whole matzah. What? Let's assume it's a half, right? So that means 5 kazayasin is one whole hand matzah when the day is over. When you finish the seder, it basically means you will have eaten. If you wanted all the chumras, not everyone has to be machmir. You can't. But one hand matzah. One hand matzah plus the most a third of another matzah. The most a third of another matzah. Because, what? No one says a kazayis is a half of a hand matzah. Two kizaysin. Many poskim say that two kizaysin is a half a matzah. A kazayis is a quarter of a matzah. So then it will come out that two kizaysin is a half a matzah. Two kizaysin for al achilas matzah and hamoitzi, and two kizaysin for afikoimin, which comes out to a whole matzah, plus a little bit for koirech. So it comes out when the seder is over, you've eaten one whole matzah, plus a little sliver, a third, less than a third, a quarter of another matzah. That is already a big shear. Exactly. So it's very hard to generalize because the matzahs are all different sizes. You're right. It's very hard, but I'm talking about our standards. Shatza matzah. Okay, many people have shatza matzah or something very similar to that. Everyone knows what it looks like. Basically, if you have a whole matzah plus a little bit more of another matzah, that will be the shiur of a total of 5 kizaysim, which is broken up over the seder. If a person cannot eat that, then don't. Then only eat one kizayis for when you make asher, when you hamoitzi lecha min haaretz, and you make al achilas matzah. If you can't eat 2 kizaysim, don't. Eat one kizayis. Eat a third or even a quarter of a matzah, it's enough. For koirech is only a chumrah. You don't, if you can't eat it, just don't eat it wherever you can. And for afikoimin, so eat a quarter of a matzah or even less in your yoytze. It's certainly going to be yoytze the mitzvah of al achilas matzah. The biggest chumrah to eat 5 kazaysin is that when it's all over, you will have eaten a whole complete matzah plus a quarter of a matzah. That, especially with our matzahs, which are pretty thick, most of the matzahs today are in general pretty thick, that for sure you've eaten 5 kizaysim. Okay, the machine matzah is a little bit more. The machine matzah is just a little bit more because they're smaller. They're smaller than hand matzahs and they're thinner. They're usually thinner than hand matzahs. They're more porous. They're more fluffy because the machine makes the holes a lot better, so there's less flour, there's less if you grind it up. So it's a little bit more. So let's say you have two whole hand matzahs. Two whole hand matzahs, maybe a little bit more. Two machine matzahs. If you end up when the seder is over and you have eaten two complete hand, let's say 2.5 the most, 2.5 machine matzahs, for sure you have 5 kazaysim. And probably even less. And if you can't eat 5 kazaysim, so don't eat 5 kazaysim. You'll be okay also. You only have to do what you can possibly do. 5 kazaysim is a chumrah to eat 5 kazaysim. That's what it comes out in the chatchila. Okay, there's one more last thing. Haseba. Haseba, you gotta do haseba. No ands, if a box of sabers, and there's no room to negotiate. Only women. Women can exempt themselves by not doing a seba. A man must do a seba. Almana, a woman does not know. Women do not, does not make a difference. Women do not do a seba no matter what. They're not mechuyif to it. They won't be called a kavod. But a man must. If you don't do a seba, do it all over again. Eat your matzah all over again. Start all over again. However, Abayis, here's the cash. According to most, the vast majority, people do not know this, the vast, vast majority of Poiskim, his Seba can only be fulfilled if you are leaning on an object. If you're sitting on a nice chair and you go like this, you go like this on the left side and you drink, you want Yimatsa, lo yatsa. His Seba means you have to take another chair. No, that's already chumris. Not everyone wants cushions. Most people I know, they don't want to be bothered. They don't want to be bothered. They're not. It's very uncomfortable. They're not into this. They sing on the chair. What? Cush this. Not everyone is into this. And what do you do? Okay, you're from you. So you're chairus. Not everyone is so accustomed to all of the intricacies of Heseba, the way it was done, the Talmud Chazal. They just want to be Yoytze, leave me alone. I don't want to eat five kids, I want to just be Yoytze, it's enough for me. So what, they go like this. They go like this. It's a man to do that, he's getting himself into a lot of halachic shayas. This is what you need to do, it's very simple. Take another chair, don't know cushions, and just lean, put your arm on it. In order to be yoytze hesebo l'chol hadeyos, you don't need cushions, you don't need pillows, you don't need to bring out your bedroom set, you don't need to do this. All you need to do is take another chair, any folding chair. Right, or it's a little bit harder, you have to have big enough. You turn your chair sideways like this, right? You turn your chair sideways and you lean. Like this. It's also good. You go like this. Turn. Your mother's not going to like you doing this. Right? But you turn your chair like this and you have to lean. Right now I'm leaning. I'm mamish resting my weight on the chair. And I eat. I'm in a position where my body is lean. Yotzer. Because there's something that's supporting my weight. If I sit like this, regular, and I go like this, that's not his saying. Because if I'm really leaning, I would fall off the chair. I'm holding myself back. Yeah, that's not his saying. What? No, you have to be lean. Your body has to be comfortably supported. That's a saber. Turn the chair like this. So it says, you turn your chair like this and you lean.
You lean.
Yotza. There are many more exotic, where Adelsky has a lot of chidushim about Heseba. There are many exotic ways. There are many exotic ways how to do Heseba. There's no question of that. But the bare minimum to do Heseba to the Yotze, l'chol adeus, without any question, yotz l'chol adeus, is you have to be leaning on something. Turn your chair or have another chair. No, leaning on your hand is not, no. There's a demonstration online on how you do it. Yeah.
The chair.
Yeah,
you're leaning on the chair.
You put your arm on the chair.
Right.
There's something supporting your arm.
But that's already a chumra, because there you're using your hand to rest. But the what is the basic foundation? There's something holding your arm. There's some object that is giving you support. That is critical. He's hitting a chumra upon that. But he's giving a chumra upon that. He's saying that the chumra is, in addition to something supporting your body, there's a position that he has makaris for this. It's very interesting how they did have saved the Talmud Chazal, by using their hand and using their hand also. But the basic starting point is Heseba demands that you rest your weight fully. You're fully reliant upon an object of supporting weight. One last tiny halacha, shocking halacha, karpas. Karpas, you have to wash for karpas. Why do you wash for karpas? Why? Because you dip something in liquid. Today, no one, you wash, your hands are going to touch the liquid. Today, you use a fork and a knife. It's about to say there. You don't want to ruin the shidduchim. You're right? Oh, exactly. You're not supposed to. Exactly. People don't know this. Karpas, because you wash for karpas, because you're dipping food into a liquid and your hands are going to get wet. Today, our hands don't get wet because everyone is using a fork and knife, a spoon. Your hands are getting wet. That's right. If your hands are not getting wet, it means you're not doing karpas the way you're supposed to karpas. The correct way to do karpas, Rabbi Sai, it's not good for shidduchim, is to your bare hands. Take your celery and dip the celery into salt water. Get your hands wet. Even the potato. Dip the potato into the water with your bare hands. Bare hands. If you're going to be proper and dignified and use a fork and spoon, very nice.
You don't have to wash your hands.
You don't have to wash your hands. You have to do it in a way where you're mechuyev to wash your hands, which means you have to use your bare hands.
Same by Mara and
Karosis. Mara doesn't say that by Mara. Yeah. You dip your hand, but I don't know if there it's mamash required because there you already washed. It's not a requirement to use your hands. By karpas, by moror, there's not a hakpada to dip it with your bare hands. Anyway, you're going to do it. Dip with your hands by the moror. It could be. All right, to be continued.